Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagurdatam Sahagana Raganatam Vidhamtam Sajivam Sarvaitam Sabadutam Purajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Vidhamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindhu Hinavando Digatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishubhanu Sita Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaiti Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Does anyone know which verse we're reading from?
11.9
So, we're starting with 11.9 until what verse?
10.11.
Do I know that? Is there someone we're supposed to stop at?
Yeah, there's definitely. Either 15 or 16, whatever your choice is.
Okay.
It gives a whole, gives a feeling of incredible gas.
So this is Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 11. Universal Form, Text 9. Sanjaya Vacha Evam Yukva Tatora Jan Mahayogeshwar Hari Darshyam Ashapardaya Paramam Rupam Aishwaryam. Sanjaya said, O King, having thus spoken, the Supreme Lord of all mystic power, Personality of Godhead, displayed his universal form to Arjuna. Aneka vatra nayanam, aneka bhuta darshanam, aneka divya varanam, divya nekodita yudam, divya malambaram daram, divya gandanu lepanam, savastrayamayam devam, anantavishvato mukam. Arjuna saw in that universal form unlimited mouths, unlimited eyes, unlimited wonderful visions. The form was decorated with many celestial ornaments and bore many divine upraised weapons. He wore celestial garlands and garments, and many divine scents were smeared over his body. All was wondrous, brilliant, unlimited, all-expanding. Purport. In these two verses, the repeated use of the word many indicates that there was no limit to the number of hands, mouths, legs, and other manifestations Arjuna was seeing. These manifestations were distributed throughout the universe, but by the grace of the Lord, Arjuna could see them while sitting in one place. This was due to the inconceivable potency of Krishna. Text 12. Divya Surya Sahasrasya Bhavad Yugapad Udita Idiva Sadrishi Sasyad Vasastasya Mahatmanaha. If hundreds of thousands of suns were to rise at once into the sky, their radiance might resemble the effulgence of the Supreme Person in that universal form. Purport. What Arjuna saw was indescribable, yet Sanjaya is trying to give a mental picture of that great revelation to Dhritarashtra. Neither Sanjaya nor Dhritarashtra was present, but Sanjaya, by the grace of Vyas, could see whatever happened. Thus, he now compares the situation as far as can be understood, to an imaginable phenomena, that is, thousands of suns. Tadraikastam dagat krishnam pravibhaktam anekada pasha deva devasya sharire panavastata. That time Arjuna could see the universe in the universal form of the Lord, the unlimited expansions of the universe situated in one place, although divided into many, many thousands. Purport, the word tatra, there, is very significant. It indicates that both Arjuna and Krishna were sitting on the chariot when Arjuna saw the universal form. Others on the battlefield could not see this form because Arjuna gave vision only to Arjuna. Arjuna could see in the body of Krishna many thousands of planets. As we learn from the Vedic scriptures, there are many universes and many planets. Some of them are made of earth, some of them made of gold, some of them made of jewels, some are very, very great, and some not so great. Sitting on his chariot, Arjuna could see all these, but no one could understand what was going on between Arjuna and Krishna. Tataksa vishmaya vishto bristaroma dananjaya pranamyam shirasa devam pritanjaya abhasataha. Then bewildered and astonished, his hair standing on end, Arjuna bowed his head to offer obeisances and with folded hands began to pray to the Supreme Lord. Purport. Once the divine vision is revealed, the relationship between Krishna and Arjuna changes immediately. Before, Krishna and Arjuna had a relationship based on friendship, but after the revelation, Arjuna is offering obeisances with great respect, and with folded hands he is praying to Krishna. He is praising the universal form. Thus Arjuna's relationship becomes one of wonder rather than friendship. Great devotees see Krishna as the reservoir of all relationships. In the scriptures there are 12 basic kinds of relationships mentioned, and all of them are present in Krishna. It is said that he is the ocean of all relationships exchange between two living entities, between the gods or between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Here Arjuna is inspired by the relationship with wonder, and in that wonder, although he was by nature very sober, calm and quiet, he became ecstatic. His hair stood up and he began to offer his obeisances unto the Supreme Lord with folded hands. He was not, of course, afraid. He was affected by the wonders of the Supreme Lord. The immediate context is wonder. His natural loving friendship was overwhelmed by wonder, thus he reacted in this way. 15 is the last one, is that right? Arjuna vacha paschami devam sabadeva dehe sarvam sadabuddha vishesha sangam pramanam isham kamalasanam stam rishinsya sarvam urugam silivyam. Arjuna said, my dear Lord Krishna, I see assembled in your body all the demigods and various other living entities. I see Brahma sitting on the lotus flower, as well as Lord Shiva and all sages and divine servants. Purport, Arjuna sees everything in the universe, therefore he sees Brahma, who is the first creature in the universe, and the celestial serpent upon which the Garbhadakshay Vishnu lies in the lower regions of the universe. The snake bed is called Vasuki. There are also other snakes known as Vasuki. Arjuna could see from the Garbhadakshay Vishnu up to the topmost part of the universe on the lotus flower planet where Lord Brahma, the first creature of the universe, resides. That means from the beginning to the end, everything could be seen by Arjuna, who is sitting one place on his chariot. This is possible by the grace of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Paskyatyaje Sadharane. So Bhagavad Gita is meant to give us spiritual vision, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Ukramantam siddhim vapi bunjana vagunam vida. Vimudanana Pashanti Pashanti Jnana Chakshusha. So this is called Jnana Chakshus, to see with the eyes of knowledge. Unfortunately, Krishna says, Ukramantam Sthitim Vapi Bhunjana Vagunan Vidha. The foolish, they can understand how the living entity quits his body, nor what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. So the whole purpose of our Hare Krishna movement is to train the members with transcendental knowledge so they can see things properly. Because unless we see things properly, we won't know what to do. And if we don't know what to do, then we'll do the wrong thing. Therefore, everything begins with first seeing things properly. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tadvidi prani patena pari prashnena sevaya ubhidek shanti te jnanam jnaninas tatva darshanaha. We're supposed to learn from those who have tatva darshan. Tat means that in English. So it's a very easy Sanskrit word to learn, because all you do is have to add an H and you get that. And it means that, tat. And tat means something which is actually real, which is of a category that's perceivable. Something you can point out. In English we have what's called demonstrative pronouns. A demonstrative pronoun is a pronoun that indicates something that's observable directly, like that, or these, or this, or that, or those, or these, or this, or that. So that glass is part of a category of glasses. So similarly, tattva darshita, those who have tattva darshanaha, they can perceive things as they actually are. They understand everything, how to put everything into the proper category. And our submissiveness, as well as our inquisitiveness, and our rendering service culminates in becoming a tattva darshana, seeing things properly. And seeing things properly means vidya, vinaya, sampane, brahmani, gavihastini, shuni, chaiva, svapake, cha, pandita, samadarshana. That we can see everyone is a spiritual being engaged by Krishna, by his material energy, in the material world at least, in some kind of activity, and in the spiritual world, in some kind of spiritual activity. So everyone is a soul, and when we see things properly, we understand the soul's presence, and we understand how the material nature is working under Krishna's energy called Maya Shakti. So now we only have a little vision of Maya Shakti, and we probably have less vision of the spiritual energy. But here in Bhagavad Gita, a more vast experience of the material energy is being given from the demigod point of view. When Krishna says, Divya Surya Sahasrasyaha Bhavat Natumam Sakshusedrastum Anenaikdva Chakshusha Divya Dadami Te Chakshu Paishame Yogamayashwaram. You can't see me with your present eyes, Krishna tells Arjuna, because Arjuna has spiritual eyes. So therefore, Dadami, Krishna is going to give him mundane eyes. Drastum Dadami Te Chakshu. He's going to reduce his vision to the vision of the materialist, to the demigod vision. So the 11th chapter is not an upward vision, it's a downward vision. So Arjuna can appreciate Krishna's Ugra Rupa, his horrible feature. Otherwise, Arjuna is too much in bliss, in love with Krishna, and therefore he could not appreciate Krishna's Ugra Rupa, his horrible feature. Now for us, probably it's an up. For Arjuna, it was a down. For us, it's an up. People take drugs in order to achieve these types of visions, in order to realize some other state of consciousness. But of course, taking drugs will not bring one to the vision of the universal form. Only by Krishna's mercy can one obtain such a vision. But if we study carefully the Bhagavad Gita, we can actually visualize something just like seeing Brahma on a lotus flower. And then we can travel down that lotus flower and we come to Garbhadakshay Vishnu sitting on the bed of Ananta. And that meditation is actually a vision, a part vision of Krishna's universal form. Of course, it would be probably more difficult for us to see unlimited heads, unlimited arms, unlimited bellies, but we can imagine many, many arms, legs, and bellies. And not only in this chapter, and even in the 13th chapter, Krishna says, Sarvata Panipadam Tat Sarvata Shri Shiromukam Sarvata Shrutimaloke Sarma Vrittitishtati. Everywhere is his arms, his legs, his bellies, his faces. In this way, the Super Soul pervades everything. Now one may think, well, that sounds rather strange, having so many arms and legs and bellies. So where are those arms, legs, and bellies? Well, we're actually observing it. These are Krishna's arms, these are Krishna's legs, these are Krishna's bellies and faces. And although we're thinking, this is my face, this is my arms, this is my legs, but actually we have absolutely nothing to do with any of these things. We're simply observing them, just like if you go to a movie and you're watching the movie and you believe that you're actually a part of the movie, because without believing that you're part of the movie wouldn't be very much fun. Unless you believe that you had become Godzilla or Tarzan. You wouldn't be very much interested in watching the movie. If you actually saw this little stick figure of Godzilla, you know, as they were making the movie, it would be very much fun, unless you like playing with toy Godzillas. So you have to imagine that actually you become Tarzan, or you become Jane, or you become, you know, Spider-Man. Some kind of imagination has to be there. So similarly, our material existence is just imagination. Certainly it's a wonderful imagination, in the fact that Krishna is able to create such a virtual reality that it actually seems to us like reality. And not only it seems to us like reality, but we can be stuck in this virtual reality forever, practically speaking. And of course, this virtual reality is fully equipped for experience through all the different senses we have, and the mind, and our conception of life, and our false egos. It's a complete reality, but it's a virtual reality. It's not the true reality, because whoever we actually are, we're eternally that person. We're simply asleep. Like, so if you have an operation and they put anesthesia into you or over your mouth, whatever, into your nose, and you fall asleep and you're dreaming, not really aware of what's going on, only aware of the dream. So similarly, this reality for us is exactly that. It's just a dream. And our real self is simply half or fully asleep. And the process of Krishna consciousness is to wake up, and when we wake up, we'll realize that actually these arms and legs and bellies, not only our arms or our legs or our belly or faces, they're all Krishna's arms, legs, bellies, and faces. And everything is being manifested according to Bhagavatam, the dream of Mahavishnu. This is his dream. Now, when we're dreaming, we imagine, oh, this is a good dream Mahavishnu is having. This is a bad one. He should change his dream a little bit. I don't like that dream he's having. So we actually believe we have some kind of direct control over our existence here. But actually we have no direct control, sorry to tell you. Because it is simply our imagination that we're controlling anything. Of course, we have an influence over the material nature in the sense that we can desire. Or as Prabhupada writes in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, desire is a subtle form of conditioning for the soul. So we're being offered so many desires, and we can choose, and according to our choice, then Krishna will arrange his dream accordingly. He'll provide us with a certain dream according to what we're desiring. If we desire, we dovetail our desires with the idea of becoming a dog, which is one of Prabhupada's seemingly his favorite animals for someone to become. If we desire to become a dog, then Krishna will arrange our dream or his dream so that we can dovetail our dream with his dream and imagine we become a dog. And once we become a dog, that's all we're going to think about for some time is being a dog. We won't be given another opportunity to think otherwise for some time. We'll become so fully absorbed in the consciousness of being a dog that practically we think we become a dog. And we won't be given any further intelligence unless we're a very special dog, and they're very rarely dogs are very special. So that we won't have any intelligence to think that we're anything other than a dog. And that may go on for a long, long time. But in the human form of life, we have the opportunity to dovetail our desires with something transcendental, namely devotional service. But there's a vision to devotional service, and part of that vision is explained here that we're not part of the universal form, that this whole universal form is Krishna's form. Everything we see going on around us is Krishna, at least his form, the universal form. It's his energy manifested as the universal form, which is non-different from him. And it's perfectly arranged. There's no injustice. However much we have our sentiment of what's good and bad, everything is perfectly arranged. And we may go on protesting, you know, God unfair to this, to the whales, or the dolphins, or the penguins, or to this, or that. But nothing is going on unfairly. So does that mean we simply accept everything, oh, everything is good? When they torture people, oh, that's very good. It's all part of Krishna's arrangement. It's part of Krishna's form, so it must be good. In one sense, that's true, but the desires of living entities that cause these things to come about are not very good. So we don't say everything is good. As Prabhupada used to say, we're good and everyone else is bad, because everyone thinks like that. The only difference is we're right. We're good because we know what the good desires are. Good desires are in relation to Krishna and trying to fulfill Krishna's mission. And everything else is bad. It may be relatively not so bad, like in the mode of goodness, it's not so bad, but it's bad. So any desire outside of Krishna's desire is bad, but there's bad and there's worse. That's all. So beating on penguins is worse, and feeding the penguins is bad. Because either case, we'll probably have to come back as a penguin. And that's bad. Therefore, the only thing that's really good is to give the penguins prasad and chant Hare Krishna. Everything else is bad. In other words, if we have the right vision, the right understanding, then we can remain fixed in devotional service. Devotional service is always good. Everything done in relation to Krishna, under Krishna's directions, and the directions of his representatives, is always good. But it's even better to understand things properly, because then we can have the right vision, and we can become fixed in the best. So here Krishna is showing, ultimately, one of the most significant verses, which we didn't get to yet. Arjuna asks, what is this all about? Akya kime ko bhavanu rupo. Namostite Deva Ra Prasida. Vigyatim Ichchami Vivantam Adyam Nihi Prajanami Tava Pravriti. Arjuna is actually curious. I mean, 5 minutes ago, Krishna, you were sitting here as a normal gentleman. We're about, you know, enter into a battle, but you seem pretty calm. You seem pretty sane. And then suddenly, you went mad. You went completely bonkers. Fire started coming out of your mouths. Your heads were, you know, you developed all these heads. And your arms were flying about all over the place. And you were eating soldiers for breakfast and lunch and dinner. What happened to you? Was it something you ate? Did you get up on the wrong side of the bed? You're a little nervous about the battle. Or what happened? So Krishna says, Kalosmi loka she krit pravrido lokansa maharti miha pravritik Kalosmi loka she krit pravrido lokansa maharti miha pravritak Vitepi tvam navad vishanti loke yevastitat pramkeshiyoda. Time I am the destroyer of all the worlds. I have come here to engage everyone. Except for you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers on both sides here are going to be slain. In other words, what we're seeing is time. If we ever notice, things don't seem to be very steady in the material world. Everything seems to be changing, and not exactly according to the way I want them to change all the time. So what are we witnessing? We're actually witnessing time going on. And what is time doing? What is the purpose of time? It's to crush everyone. So if you're having a bad time, well then you're normal. If you think you're suffering, things aren't going the way you want them to, well that's good. It means you have some knowledge. And if you think everything's great, exactly what I want, then one is a fool if one thinks like that. Yes, this is fantastic. I'm going through birth, death, old age, and disease. Bring it on. What a wonderful world. So what we're actually witnessing is the effects of time. Experiencing is the effects of time. And if you think, well, I'm going to be young forever, well, just wait a few years. Don't worry. Everything will be revealed very quickly. Does anyone know how many years of our life is 1 second in Brahma's life?
1 year is close to 1 second.
We'd like that to be. That's not quite what it is.
If
you take 311,040,000,000,000 years and divide it by 100, what do you get? You get 3,111,111,000,000,000. And you divide that by 12, and you divide that by, that's for 30, and you divide that by 24, and you divide that by 60, and you divide that by another 60, you get 96,000. So there's, in 1 second of Brahma's life, there are 96,000 of our years. That means in 1 second of Brahma's life, then we go through approximately 1,000 births if we live that long. So for Brahma it's a second, for us it's 1,000 births. And we think we're going to live a long time in this body. Therefore it says when Brahma, he left after stealing the cows and the coward boys and hiding them. He only left for a nimesha, actually less than a nimesha, which is only a fraction of a second. And in Mahavishnu's life, in one second of his life, three Brahmas are born and die. So our understanding of time is rather small, rather relative. In any case, this whole universal form is actually meant to crush everyone, and we're all going to be crushed. This body is going to be crushed, and then we'll get another body with great hope. This little baby is born, it's going to become a great lawyer, it's going to go to Harvard, it's going to make millions of dollars, and then it's going to die. And come back again, perhaps not as human being, but as Prabhupada's favorite example, as a dog. Maybe a dog with a kennel near a Harvard, but a dog nevertheless. And that will go on forever. Very something to look forward to. You can put that on your calendar. Therefore, the universal form is actually supposed to strike fear in the hearts of the living entities who read it. If there's no fear, we think, oh, this is pretty far out. Fire is coming from his mouth. The whole sky is filled with all kinds of cloth and colors and scents and clothing and weapons and this. Pretty far out. Arjuna must have been, he must have been on some kind of trip or something, watching the whole thing. But that's not what it's meant for. It's meant to give us some understanding we're not in the right place. We're not supposed to be in the material world and suffer here. We're supposed to be in the spiritual world. And in order to do that, we have to understand how everything is under Krishna's control. And therefore, to develop the proper desires. And then, of course, beyond that is the spiritual vision. And at the end, Krishna says, Mad Kama Krit, Mad Paramo, Mad Bhava, Sangavarditaha, Yavara, Sarabhuteshu, Yaksamam, Eti Pandava. That the whole idea of the 11th chapter is just like in every other chapter to bring us to the point of devotional service. That is, surrender to Krishna. Krishna, I realized there's no future here. All my plans are going to be smashed to dust in a very quickly. And therefore, I'm going to give up all my plan making and then my karma crit and dedicate whatever energies I have in your service. Mat paramo, mat bhakta, and become your devotee, as every chapter is recommending. Sangavarditaha, give up all materialistic association and become everyone's friend, because everyone is actually a soul. And everything is arranged perfectly to help us become Krishna conscious. There will be people to come encourage us if we're doing the right thing in Krishna's service, and there will be people to come to encourage us when we're doing the wrong thing. That is, chastise us because we're doing the wrong thing. Or at least to learn tolerance so that we can understand, become detached from this material conception of life, and at the same time become attached to dedicating whatever we have in Krishna's service. We may think we're better than someone or we're worse than someone, but actually it is all based upon our material conception. Because if we, the only thing we're observing now is someone's material body and activities. But this has nothing to do with the soul. Every one of us are eternally exactly the same soul we were when we came to the material world. And when we leave the material world, we'll be exactly the same soul. Nothing at all has changed or can change, because we have nothing to do with the material world. The only thing that's going on is in the material world is souls have simply chosen the wrong place to be, that's all. And when they choose the right place to be, then Krishna will put them into the right place. So all we can do is try to help people understand how they're just wasting their time choosing different material circumstances, which are all dead ends, literally dead ends. Or as Badrinarayan Maharaj said in the class today, this is the one place no one gets out of alive. Probably. Anyhow, they're not going to get out of here alive either. Therefore, we should take this universal form seriously. It's Krishna's form. It's actually made in such a way as to encourage living entities to get out of here as soon as possible. Only the foolish will stay here, being tortured by the material nature, and hope, due to false propaganda, that the future will be better than the past. But we know that whatever, however bad the past was, it's going to get a lot worse. Whatever nightmares we've had in the past, they're going to turn into greatly, very difficult nightmares. There. Therefore, we should take Krishna's visions that he's giving us, and we can even meditate. Strangely enough, one of Prabhupada's favorite chapters was the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He liked reciting it. Maranugrahaya paramam guyamatyatma samgitam yet prayokta vachastena mohayam vigatomaya bhavapyo hibhutanam shuta vishtrasomaya tatat kamala patraksha ahatmamapichaviyam. So that was Prabhupada loved reciting this 11th chapter because it's full of wonderful descriptions of Krishna's universal form. So we can meditate on this. And then it becomes meditating on Krishna. And therefore we'll become attached from all our material conceptions of life. And we'll be able to see how this is all Krishna's arrangement and that we have an opportunity to, at every moment to experience how Krishna's making arrangement. And if we participate in this Sankirtan movement and whoever we meet, we try to help them understand everything in relation to Krishna, including this material nature. See everything in both the material nature, how to utilize material nature in Krishna's service, inspire people to enter into the spiritual nature of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement by chanting Hare Krishna. Then this meditation on the universal form will also be as ecstatic as hearing the rasa dance with Krishna. You see Prabhupada looking at the pictures in the fifth canto of the Yamadutas torturing people, and Prabhupada has a big smile on his face. Not that Prabhupada was a masochist or a sadist, he loves to see people getting tortured. Just like Shukadeva Goswami, Pariksha Maharaj is greatly disturbed hearing about the sufferings of the living entities. But then the remedial measure was given to him, the chanting of the holy name in the sixth canto. But Prabhupada was seeing how things in relationship to Krishna. And therefore, even the souls are being tortured in the material world, it's meant to wake them up. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that souls are asleep, just like sometimes a lover, his beloved is asleep, and he tries to shake the beloved to wake them up, her up or him up, for material enjoyment. So similarly, Krishna sees the souls in this material world are asleep, and the whole material experience here is just to shake us up so we can wake up and enjoy with Krishna again. So that's one way. When we're being shaken, we should just know that Krishna is shaking us to wake us up so we can enjoy with him again. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
So what is the difference between this Kaal Rupa and Ugla?
Can you take the microphone? We have a large audience.
Somebody explained that Krishna, he showed two forms. One is Vishwarup and one is Kaal Rupa.
There's no difference. They're both. Vishwarup is Kaal Rupa. Or the Virata Rupa, they're all the same. Because the Vishwarupa is Krishna's form of time. Kalo is me, Lokashe, Krit Parido. Yes, of course.
So, Maharaj, what is Mahavishnu getting out of this dreaming all these universes and us with it?
A lot of fun. Hey, Krishna, as it says, he's offering the living entities free will. He gives them free will. So he has to provide for the living entities the opportunity to desire in so many ways outside of desiring to please him. Therefore, this whole experience of Mahavishnu is to provide us with the opportunity to forget him and imagine that we become Radha or Krishna. At the same time, it allows him to utilize his material energy to teach living entities that they can't be happy apart from the relationship with Him. So it serves both purposes, giving the living entities an opportunity to experience their perverted desires of being apart from Krishna, and at the same time training them how to dovetail their desires back in Krishna consciousness. So it allows the living entities free will either to love Krishna or to be apart from Krishna. Anything? Yes, Maharaj.
So I had a question in relation to what you said about that we have no control over life and that Krishna have arranged everything. And I'm just wondering, how are we supposed to know what Krishna wants about or for our lives?
Well, we do have control over our life. We don't have final control, because all we can do is desire, and Krishna understands our desire. Just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. So Krishna makes the arrangements according to what we deserve and what we desire. And what we should desire is according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Because those are general there's one person who knows exactly how we should desire. He's known as Super Soul, the Antaryami. Who is that? Adui Rup, Antaryami Bhakti Shesta Adui Rup. That one should know the Super Soul as my very self. One should know the Shiksha Guru. So it's Shiksha Guru Ke Ta Jani A Bhakti Rup. Antaryami Bhakti Shesta Adui Rup. That's Chaitanya Charitamrita 147, Adi Leela 147. So there Krishna Kaviraj says, Shiksha Guru Ke Ta Jani Adurup Antaryami Bhakta Shesta Adurup. That one should know that the Shiksha Guru is my very self. And Antaryami, the Super Soul, and the best of the devotees, they're both my representatives. So we should find out what Krishna wants, what Antaryami, the Super Soul, wants us to do. And in order to do that, we have Guru, we have Sadhu, and we have Shastra. And we have intelligence that Krishna supplies. We have our ability to pray to Krishna, that we don't know what Krishna wants us to do. According to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, pray that we can, these things will help reveal what the Super Soul wants us to do. And when we pray and we do what's necessary in order to become qualified to get the revelation of what Krishna wants, then the result is, when the Super Soul is pleased with us, then Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Then He gives us the intelligence by which we can come to Him. So how to do that? Tesham Sadatam Yuktanam Vajantam Priti Purvagam. The devotees, which are Bhakta Shrestas, they tell us how to engage in constant, enthusiastic with Priti Purvagam, with loving service to Krishna. That is devoid of desires of sense gratification, mental speculation. So when we engage in devotional service like that, to the best of our ability, then Krishna Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. He gives us the intelligence so that we know exactly how to improve our unalloyed, uninterrupted service to Him. So that's what Krishna wants. That's what we're supposed to do. That there are 9 processes of devotional service: hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna, offering prayers to Him, serving Him, doing deity worship, being a friend of Krishna, or surrendering everything. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And we're doing that with uninterruptedly, with enthusiasm, then we're perfectly situated.
So loving Him then?
Yeah, loving and serving Him. Whoever we meet, Yari Deka, Tari Kaha, Krishna Upadesh, Ama Aga Guruhana Tarade. Whoever we meet, we should try to help them revive their loving relation with Krishna. We should inspire them to perform devotional service to Krishna. So that's what we're supposed to do. We have a 24-hour opportunity. Even our dreams, when we meet someone, we should try to help them become Krishna conscious. Offer them prasadam in the dream, or chant Hare Krishna with them, or tell them to distribute a book to them, get a donation from them. Then we're perfectly situated. Yes.
I was wondering, I saw here in text 14 when it says, so Arjuna was ecstatic, but actually it was because he was full of wonder, not because he was in a friendship relationship with Krishna anymore. So I was wondering, so because I always thought, like, if you're in a friendship relationship with Krishna, so this is actually when you become ecstatic. So, but here it seems like even if someone has this odd reverence, still there can be ecstatic symptoms then?
Yeah, of course. There are 7 indirect relationships. One of them is wonder, adbhutam. So anything in relation to Krishna can be ecstatic. There's also ghastly rasa. But we probably wouldn't, just like if you're eating a meal, sometimes you may have different spices, like chilies, you put in chili, but you wouldn't probably like to eat a meal of just chilies. So just a meal of only ghastly rasa wouldn't probably be very satisfying after some time. So Arjuna became ecstatic seeing this. It's like going to a horror movie. It's exciting for some time, but you probably wouldn't want to live there your whole life. Anything else?
I was trying to think of a practical example when you said that we just have desire and then Krishna fulfills it pretty much. And I was thinking, like, if after class I have a desire to go somewhere, I don't really think about standing up and walking there. I just think about where I'm going. Now, how is all that other stuff happening without me thinking about it? How do I get up and walk, and I just have a desire? And then all these other things happen.
Well, it's going not only to our desire, but we deserve. So we don't, most of the things that go on, we're not thinking about it anyhow.
No.
We're not thinking, oh, how many, my heart, it's beat. It's all going on beyond our control. We just imagine that we're controlling. But within a certain realm, because Krishna is giving us intelligence, within that small realm of choice we have, that's the realm of our intelligence. And therefore, if we actually are more mindful, when we get up, we can get up more mindfully. And Krishna, because he's Krishna giving us more intelligence how to get up properly. Otherwise, we just get up mechanically. We have no idea. But it's not that we're doing all the activities, it's just that we're unmindful. Krishna will carry it out. We're just willing to get up, and Krishna makes all the other arrangements. So generally 99.99% of what we do is unmindful, because we're unconscious. And Krishna just arranges it all. And we take all the credit for it. All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Kijai. Srila Prabhupada, Kijai. Gaur Premanande.